Merry Christmas, Harvest Time family, and Merry Christmas to all our friends and family who are watching online. You know, the Bible tells us to sing unto the Lord. Psalm 95:1 says, "Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And Psalm 104:33 says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you." So tonight, we're going to form one large choir singing beautiful Christmas hymns to the King of Kings on this Christmas Eve. So please stand to your feet as we begin with Joy to the World.
Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin.
it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
And just as the shepherds and the wise men came to Bethlehem to worship him, this next beautiful Christmas hymn invites all God's faithful to come and worship, including you and me. Please turn and greet your neighbor, wish them a Merry Christmas, and then you may be seated.
God bless you, everyone. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad to see you this evening. We're excited that you've joined us for one of the most beautiful services of the evening. We're going to finish our night. The sun is going to go down. We're going to finish our evening in candlelight, and we're glad that you're here to just worship Jesus with us this evening. We're going to receive an offering, and we just want to thank you so much for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. We have just a week left to 2022, and so if you want to make a gift to the church and receive tax credit for this year, 2022, you have just a week left to do this. And tonight we're asking if maybe you could help us with a special need. So how many homeowners know that you never know when you wake up in the morning what might go wrong around the house? Imagine having a house that's 60,000 square feet, on 10 and a half acres with 1,000 visitors or more every week, and, you know, 300 or 400 children and teenagers traipsing through the house. A lot could go wrong. About 2 weeks ago, I noticed that the lights went out in our parking lot. We couldn't figure out. We've had that happen a few different times. There's been some relays and switches and timers and some different things. So I wasn't sure what was the problem, but it took us a little while to get an electrician out here on the property to figure out what the problem is. And we discovered that mice took out our parking lot lights. In every pole out in the parking lot, there were little furry critters who chewed through all the wires. And so we had a team of electricians here for the last week replacing all the wires, running new wires, and removing our furry friends. They've gone on to be with Jesus, and they're waiting for us now. But so we're ending the year with a little bit of an unexpected bill, and we thought maybe you could help us out towards that bill tonight. You know, if everybody here this evening were to give something like $20, that would cover that bill. Now, if you don't have $20, you don't have to worry. Your neighbor does. So you can just reach into his back pocket, take his wallet. Oh, no, don't do that. But would you give an offering this evening and help us towards that need? We would be so grateful. We just want to finish this year having met all of our obligations and make a good start to 2023. And so we're very grateful. The ushers are coming in just a moment. There's an offering envelope in your bulletin, and you can use that offering envelope to make a gift. Just before the ushers come, I want to let you know that Christmas Day falls on a Sunday this year, and so we're going to have a Sunday morning worship service tomorrow morning at 10:30. That's the regular time of our second worship service, and so we'll be here at 10:30. We have a completely different service that we have planned for you tomorrow. We have some special treats, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow morning at 10:30 to worship the Lord on Sunday. 1 week from tonight, New Year's Eve, we will have New Year's Eve communion service at 5 p.m., and then New Year's Day, we'll have just one worship service, and that'll be at 10:30 in the morning, and we hope you can be here. Going to ask the ushers if they would come to wait on us this evening, and we just want to thank you for all of your loving support of Harvest Time Church all through the year, and especially at the end of this year. Let's just give thanks to the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight that you gave us the very best gift of all. You gave us the gift of Jesus. Freely we've received. And so freely we give back to you tonight with glad and sincere hearts these offerings, these tokens of our love for you, Lord. Father, I pray you'd bless every giver in this offering this evening and all throughout this year. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. If your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen. God bless you while you give.
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Ding, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. Songs of good cheer, Christmas is here.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Ring Christmas bells throughout the earth, tell the good news of Jesus' birth. Ring Christmas bells throughout the earth, tell the good news of Jesus' birth.
Was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in Revelation 7:12, it says, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen.
Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Didn't our choir do an amazing job tonight? We appreciate Joanne Carapriest leading our choir and Pastor Nick on the piano. Everybody sounded amazing. We're so glad you're here tonight. Want to share a few thoughts with you on this Christmas evening. You know, every week when I prepare to share something with our HTC family, I pray and I read the scriptures and I wait for what I call the download. So God whispers into my heart just something to share with our congregation from Sunday to Sunday. Sometimes the download comes early in the week and I'm always grateful for that. Sometimes it comes late in the week and that's just a little bit stressful. But sometimes when I receive the download, I doubt a little bit. I wonder, will it resonate with anybody? But I've learned over the years to just go with what God gives me. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. On Christmas Eve, I have three thoughts that I want to share with you that maybe seem a little bit disjointed, but I think there's a thread that runs through them. Here's the first thought that I want to share with you. What could possibly be more important than Christmas? You know, when we think about Christmas, lots of different word associations come to mind. Christmas lights, Christmas trees, Christmas parties, Christmas cards, Christmas cookies, Christmas movies, Christmas sweaters, Christmas stockings, Christmas songs, Christmas shopping, and of course, Christmas presents. Christmas is about the love of family and friends. It's about children's imagination and joy. It's about young romance. But may we pause for just a moment this evening to consider the supreme importance of Christmas. If there's an infinite, eternal, transcendent God who created everything and everyone for his own divine purposes, if this God is all-wise and all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, always good, and everywhere present at all times, what could possibly be more important than knowing that he is? And if this God, who is a holy, all-consuming fire, fervently desires to have a personal relationship with me, with you, with all of us, if he ardently loves me, what could possibly be more important than knowing that he does? And if this great God who dwells in unapproachable light so that even the angels that surround his throne 24/7 have to cover their eyes, if this God voluntarily and temporarily laid aside his divine privileges and put on a body of human flesh and came into human history, what could possibly be more important than knowing why he did? What was the divine purpose for his visit? What benefit did he come to bring us? In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes about these things. He relates the Christmas story in one place this way. The grace of God that brings salvation has epiphanied, has appeared to all people. Jesus coming on Christmas was an epiphany in our world. That word means the breaking of dawn's first light on the dark horizon. Paul continues, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us to redeem us from every kind of sin and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. This is the supreme importance of Christmas. On that oh so holy night in that little town of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ came into the world to save us through his offering on the cross. He came to set us free from the inescapable grip of sin and the intolerable guilt of sin. He came so that we can be clean He came so that we can belong to God the Father, that we can have a personal relationship with Him, to be at His side forever. What else in life could possibly be more important than to be absolutely certain that we receive the benefit that Jesus came to bring us on Christmas? That's the first thought. Here's the second thought. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. The most famous newspaper editorial ever first appeared in the New York Sun in 1897. 8-year-old Virginia O'Hanlon wrote to the paper asking if Santa Claus is real. Her dad told her not to expect a reply because the newspaper people are very busy. But lo and behold, some weeks later, the editorial, "Is There a Santa Claus?" appeared. The response was so overwhelming that the Sun republished that editorial every year until 1950, when it went out of print. It was picked up by other publications across the country. That editorial has been translated into 20 different languages. It has inspired a movie and a television special, a Broadway musical. It's the most reprinted editorial in the English language. Tonight, I want to tell you that yes, Santa Claus is real. But let's demythologize him just a little bit. St. Nicholas wasn't born in the North Pole, far from it. He was a bishop on the Mediterranean seacoast of Turkey about 300 years after Christ. Winter temperatures on the Mediterranean seacoast in Turkey bottom out in the 50s in the winter, and they soar to the upper 90s in summer. How many of you wish we could go to the Mediterranean seacoast tonight? So the real Santa, he was a southern boy, not a northerner. And he's eastern Mediterranean, not western European nor American. Nicholas' parents died in a pandemic and left him with a substantial inheritance. But he gave his fortune away, anonymously helping the poor. The story is told of a single dad who couldn't afford a dowry for his three daughters to get married. So Nicholas reportedly threw three bags of gold through an open window, one of them landing in a stocking that had been hung up to dry, or so the story goes, hence the tradition of Christmas stockings. Now this is for certain. Under the Roman Emperor Diocletian, Nicholas was imprisoned for his faith in Christ. He was shackled and tortured. Church tradition says that in prison, he experienced divine visitations and interventions. Diocletian was succeeded by the Emperor Constantine, who converted to Christianity. When Constantine learned about Nicholas' faithfulness to Christ in prison, he released Nicholas and reinstated him to his bishopric. Nicholas was given the title, the honorary title, Nicholas Confessor. A confessor is someone who endures persecution for the sake of Christ without wavering. A few years after he was set free, a man called Arius from Egypt began teaching that Jesus Christ was not God, but rather the pinnacle of created beings. Arius denied the truth of the Trinity. Critics of Christianity like to say that it took the church a couple hundred years to sort out what they believe and to decide on the books of the New Testament. That's not at all the case. The early church was crystal clear about the apostles' teachings and about their writings. But as time passed after Christ, more and more false teachers kept coming out of the woodwork with new ideas and unorthodox doctrines. So the church had to hold special councils to reaffirm the apostles' doctrine and writings. A council of bishops was called together in the city of Nicaea in Turkey to sort out Arius' new teachings about Jesus. While Arius forcefully argued his position, church tradition says that Nicholas became so incensed by the blasphemy that he just couldn't take it anymore, so he walked across the room and he slapped Arius in the face, like hard. The rest of the bishops were appalled by Nicholas' lack of self-control. You know, sometimes in our zeal to defend Christ, we Christians can act in ways that are unchristlike. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of that as a representative of Jesus, please accept my apology. But in spite of all the drama on the floor, the bishops adopted the Nicene Creed to quash the heresies of Arius. It goes like this: We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made a man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall not end. Amen. So what's the point? I've never before in 30, what's the point of talking about Santa Claus in church on Christmas Eve? Listen, let's take Santa back from the non-religious. Every time you see a man in a red suit, don't get mad. Instead, remember this. Nicholas was a passionate lover of Jesus and a fervent preacher of the gospel. He was a man of compassion and benevolence who endured severe persecution for Christ's sake. Saint Nicholas fully believed that there is nothing more important than Christmas. He was one of the framers and signers of the Nicene Creed, powerfully affirming the virgin birth and the full deity of Jesus Christ, and that is how he became associated with Christmas. The last thing Nicholas would ever want would be to displace Christ or to distract people from Christ on Christmas. He would never want to be the center of attention, the hero of Christmas, rather than Christ, whom he deeply loved and for whom he gave away his fortune and for whom he suffered. Nicholas vigorously defended the message that on Christmas, God himself put on a body of human flesh and came to earth. And if anyone were to say otherwise in his presence, he might give you something worse than a lump of coal. He might give you a clop. There's nothing more important than Christmas. Santa himself believed that and defended it vigorously, maybe a little too vigorously. Here's the final thought. Final thought, and we're done. Won't you turn to God's love this Christmas? One day, Jesus told a story about a father with two sons. He was a good dad. He was a loving dad, a caring dad. But the younger son turned away from his father's love. He rejected his father's guidance. He rejected his father's protection and provision and devout way of life. The younger son moved as far away from home as he could go. It was only after he found himself wallowing in the bottom of a pig pen that he realized what he had turned away from. He remembered that his father was a joyful man. His father was kind and generous, wise and good. His father was fair. He treated everyone with equal dignity and respect, compassionate and forgiving. The younger son decided to turn to his father's love. He made his way back home again
and his father fully restored him. Unlike his little brother, the older son never did leave his father's house. Nevertheless, he too had turned away from his father's love. He never learned his father's heart. Rather than being caring for others like his dad, he was self-centered. Rather than being compassionate, he was self-righteous. Rather than being forgiving, he was judgmental and vindictive. Rather than being grateful, he was full of self-pity. When the father celebrated the return of the younger son, the older son turned away from them both. The father went out and pleaded with the older son to turn toward his love. But the older son refused him. In just one moment for our final act of worship, we're going to fill this sanctuary with candlelight and worship. But just before we do, I feel like God wants to make an appeal to somebody here this evening. On this Christmas night, turn to his love. What could possibly be more important than Christmas? God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, put on a body of human flesh and he stepped into time and space. He stepped into our world to save us. In the person of Jesus, God is holding out his love to you. Won't you turn to his love? Would you stand on your feet tonight and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Give him a good praise in this place. We sang it earlier as a hymn, but now I want you to sing it as a worship chorus. Would you sing with us? Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Lift up your voice.
Oh, come, let us adore him.
A flame all through this sanctuary. We're going to worship the Lord But just before we do, God is holding out his love to you tonight in the person of Jesus. There's nothing more important than Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus. But whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's holding out his love to you tonight in Jesus. Would you turn to it? Would you bow your heads with me for just one moment? The way to respond to the message of Jesus is with a prayer of believing. I'd like to lead you in a prayer tonight of faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never prayed a prayer like that before, and you'd like to join us in a prayer of believing on Jesus. Maybe you prayed a prayer like that a long time ago, but a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, and tonight's the night to pray it for the first time in a long time. If you're willing, I'm just going to invite everyone that's willing, would you lift your hands with me in this place tonight? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer of believing, and I want to invite you to repeat after me. Let's pray. I'll lead, you follow in a nice, clear voice. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Father, I'm turning to your love tonight. Forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me a new person. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a good praise. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we believe that you got born again tonight, that the Christ of Christmas has come to dwell in your heart. God bless you, everybody. We're going to, for our final act of worship, pass a flame through this sanctuary. I want to invite the ushers to come and to help us. We're going to start with one flame, and we're going to pass it down through the rows. As you reach out your candle tonight to receive the flame, I want you to let it be a symbol that you've received the light of Christ in your heart tonight on this Christmas. God bless you. We're going to sing and we're going to worship while we pass this flame through the sanctuary.
I just want to tell you that feeling you feel right now, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God with us. We're incredibly blessed this evening to have our friend Teo Ricciardella with us. Teo's family became part of our HTC family earlier this year, and we had the opportunity this last fall on Wednesday evenings to spend several weeks together in our HT Basics Life group, just talking about the basic things that we believe as followers of Christ. And Teo joined us for the ride, and he asked penetrating questions, questions that were too good that I couldn't answer. But I found out along the way that Teo sings a little bit, and then I found out he doesn't sing a little bit, he sings a lot. And I asked him if he would come and bless us with the Lord's Prayer tonight for our benediction. I know you can't clap with candles in your hands, but would you welcome our dear friend, Teo Ricciardella. God bless you, Teo.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Anybody else have goosebumps right now? Teo, thank you so much. Teo told me, he said, Pastor, I woke up this morning and I lost my voice completely. Teo, it looks like you found it. God bless you. Thank you so much. We want to say a very special thank you to Joanne Caraprisi and to our choir, to Pastor Nick. I want you to know that right after the new year, the choir is going to start working for Good Friday. So I think you should be part of the Good Friday choir. But we want to wish you a very blessed Merry Christmas and all God's blessings in this coming new year. The choir is going to sing us out. After you've had a chance to sing, you may be dismissed. Merry Christmas, everyone, and God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
All right, now we get off.